I'd love to start by saying a massive tangled up thank you to all the people who have led worship for us tonight and so far this week. They have been awesome, haven't they? Oh, yes. They've been so, so good, and we appreciate them so much. So, thank you, guys. This is really unnerving, having two people standing right behind me. But it's fine. We could interview them at the same time, couldn't we? Hi, Rachel. What's your favourite chocolate bar?
Whisper.
Yes, Whisper. Okay. So, I'm really hoping that the things that we've heard about, thought about, experienced in the last couple of nights might be starting to sink in a little bit. That some of you might be coming to the place of saying, okay, Cheds, I get it now. You can stop repeating yourself over and over again. I know that God is for me. I know he's on my side. I know he's fighting for me. I'm hoping he's busting to give me the best in my life. And I'm hoping for some of you it's a step further than that, that we're starting to get a fresh perspective of the character of God. That we can't earn his onsideness, that we can't work for it. We get it because God is our dad. And whilst I really hope that you're grasping these things, another part of me is also wondering whether it's left you with any questions, any big questions, about how God's onsideness actually works out in reality. The more and more I prepared for Letting Hall, the more and more one question kept coming to my mind. And this may be one small question is part of a bigger question, and that bigger question is a really honest and important question to ask. And it goes like this. If God is on my side, if he's willing for my life to go well, if he wants the best for me, then why does bad stuff happen to me? Why doesn't life look the way I want it to? Why do things go wrong? Where is God's onsideness then? Surely if God wants the best for me and he's crazy about me, as you say, then my pet hamster would never die. My football team will win the league every year. I would never fall out with my friends. Slightly more seriously, my friend who's a Christian wouldn't have a serious illness. The family who are in church who are pretty poor wouldn't have many problems. My dad wouldn't be unemployed. How does this fit with God's onsideness? And this is a massive, massive, emotional and tricky subject. And even if it's a question you don't have now, you may have it sometime. Or I'm definite you'll bump into someone who has this question. If God is so good, why do bad things happen? Tonight I'm not going to give you one easy answer, because it doesn't exist. But I do want to explore a range of things, a range of thoughts about when God is on my side. Why don't we always get the things that we want? Before we start looking at some thoughts, I want us to think for a second about the Bible. This is God's word, his book for us, and it describes God, who he is, his character, how he acts in the world and with his people. And the Bible spends a lot of its time describing how great and mighty and awesome God is. It doesn't really hold back. The whole thing is a non-stop wow about God. And yet it holds the same tension that we're thinking about tonight. The Bible is full of stories of difficulty and loss and hard times. People are ill and die and suffer. There's no pretense that everything is okay for everyone in life once you know God. It doesn't even begin to try. It's not a false book. These tougher times go hand in hand with an amazing God who acts and intervenes in our world. So the first of my thoughts about why we might not always get what we want if God is on our side is this. God is not building a team of superstar Christians. How many perfect Christians do you know? You know, the type that God has given them everything they want, whenever they want it. Nothing goes wrong for them. They don't make any mistakes. They're surrounded by people who look at their lives and say, oh wow, you're just perfect. Do you know any people like that? I don't. Was God's great master plan for this world that he would make perfect people and everyone would look around and be amazed that God gave them everything they ever wanted? For people to say, wow, God's given you this perfect life, therefore I want to be a Christian too. Was that his plan to build a team of superstars? This verse seems to contradict it. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. If you imagine this jar of clay, a cheap rubbish jar contained the crown jewels. I think they're meant to be worth about £12 billion or something. Do you think people would look at this jar and say, man, that is one nice jar. I want to look like that. They'd probably say, that is one disgusting jar, but I want to get to what's inside. Imagine if God gave us everything we wanted. If God on our side meant he gave us everything we asked for, and we looked perfect on the outside, and nobody would see God's power inside us. What a bunch of fakers we would be. The glory would go to us and how amazing our lives are and not God. What would the point be? We're just real people with good days and bad days, ordinary on the outside, that hold a treasure far more beautiful than anything could ever imagine. Yes, our lives may look ordinary on the outside, but that gives all the more room for God to show his amazing treasure and his great power and goodness on the inside of us through what he does in our lives. We have this treasure in jars of clay that shows that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. God is building a team of ordinary people who hold his power inside us, not a team of superstars who get everything they want. The second reason everything might not go our way is that if God is for us, our way might not be the best way. We know this, don't we? Let's look at Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "The Lord our God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. He withholds no good thing from those who do what is right." God will not hold back any good thing from those people who do what is right. It doesn't say God will hold back nothing from those who do what is right, but no good thing. What's the difference? He will only give us good things. As smart as I like to think I am, I often don't know what a good thing is. I think I know what's good for me, but God knows what is truly good for me. These words on the screen is one of my favourite quotes. It's definitely not mine. It's from a guy called Tim Keller. And he says this, "God will only give you what he knows you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows." God will only give you what he knows you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. God isn't in the business of saying, "I'm on your side, therefore I'll give you everything you ask for." We are way too easily pleased for that. He's after giving us the best. He knows our good ideas fall way short of the best he has for us. God will only give you what he knows you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. Because God is on our side, why would he just give us what we want? With our limited knowledge and our limited wisdom, when he ultimately, outside of time, knows what is best for us. No good thing will he withhold from us. When I look back at my life, I see so many times where it would have been disastrous if I'd got what I wanted, if I'd got my own way. Times that I was so frustrated at God because I thought, it's obvious what I need here. If only you were really on my side, you would give me this, this, and this. Without God's grace surrounding me at every moment, I could have made some stupid, silly, or horrendous choices. But God was on my side, fighting for me, busting a gut to give me every good thing, not everything that I wanted. The reason why this is so important is if we don't understand God's heart for us in this, that he's a father who ruthlessly loves his children and wants the best for him, then when things don't go as we want, we'll probably blame God and think that he's not on our side, and we'll run away from him instead of doing the thing we really need to do, which is to run to him. I want to show you a video from a guy who did just this, a guy who blamed God for his life not working out how he wanted to. And when you see the video, you might think, I can understand why he blamed God. And he got angry with God and tried to do bad stuff to sort it out. But he came to a place of saying, God, I believe that you know what is best. You may have seen this guy in a video before, but I think he is a great example of this. What amazing, powerful testimony and words. The best bits for me were his words at the end. The greatest burden in your life is not your circumstances. It's you not being able to see clearly your life through God's eyes. The greatest burden in your life is not your circumstances. It's you not being able to see clearly your life through God's eyes. How we need a perspective of God that changes everything. A clear view of God that says he's only ever good and only ever wants the best for us. The third reason we might not always get what we want is that God has a bigger goal. God has a bigger goal. God is helping us become more like Jesus. And whilst it might become a bit uncomfortable at the time, what better goal in there in life could there be than to become more like Jesus? God's ultimate goal for your life on this earth is not just for your comfort, it's for your character development. He wants you to grow up spiritually and become more like Christ. Becoming like Christ doesn't mean you have to lose your personality or become a mindless clone. God created your uniqueness, so he doesn't want to destroy it. But instead he wants to make us more like Jesus. There are so many verses in the Bible on this subject, and here are just a few of them. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it's finally finished when Jesus returns. God being on our side means that God has already started working in each one of us, making us more like him. And it says here that he will continue to work in us, and one day that work will be complete. Philippians 2 verse 13, for God is working in you to give you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Again here, God is working in us. It's not just down to us and our willpower and our hard work. He is giving us all good things. He's removing the bad things, chipping away to make us more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians, so all of us see and reflect the glory of God, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his image. He is making us more and more like him. God is in the process of making us more like Jesus. Mountain climbers could save so much time and energy if they just reached the top of a mountain in a helicopter. But they don't, do they? Why on earth don't they do that? It would be so much quicker. Their ultimate purpose is not speed, but it's conquest. Sure, they want to reach a goal, but they want to do it in a way that tests their character and their resolve. God could create scientists and mathematicians and athletes and musicians, but he doesn't. He creates children who take on these roles over a long process. We learn to grow by handling failure, not just getting what we want. Sometimes for God to truly be on our side, for him to truly be for us, we have to grow. And sometimes growing is painful and difficult. And finally, just because God is good, it doesn't mean we will never encounter evil. This is what Jesus thought and said about difficult times ahead. The words I'm going to put on the screen are Jesus' thoughts about the difficult times ahead of us. It wasn't, if you know me, your life will be pain-free. That's not how Jesus saw it. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We don't have to look far to find trouble. We're surrounded by it. We have an enemy who's looking to cause us all sorts of havoc. Trouble comes from his attempts to destroy us. Knowing God doesn't make us immune from all the bad things that happen in our society. Rather, it keeps our hearts safety in the safety of his goodness. Rock solid, knowing that God can only be good. He's always fighting for us, and he will have the last word, because Jesus has overcome the world. So when God being on our side, or God being for us, doesn't exactly look how we want it to, when it looks like it might take us on a journey that we aren't really wanting, how are we meant to handle it? What are we meant to do or learn? I want to look very quickly for a minute at practically how we do this, rather than just theoretically. Sometimes in the difficult times, when things aren't going our way, they're the times that we can learn the most and change the most and discover the most about ourselves. And I want to share you very quickly five things that we can either do or might happen to us when God takes our lives down a road that we're less comfortable with. Number one. In difficult times, we hear what God is saying with real clarity. Sometimes we're so busy, so unattentive to God, but in a period of suffering, we can hear God more. We can hear that he might want to tell us something important, or even might want to explain to us why it is that's going on. We also learn to trust. You will never have to go through any experience that God does not see. He walks where you walk, and you can trust him to do what is right in every circumstance, even if you may not be able to see the long-term purpose now. This brings us to a place where the words, "I trust God," stop just being words we say, but start to be a real experience or testimony. We develop patience, another quality that only is formed in the hard time. When things are not going as we wish, it can be time when we stop and reconsider our lives and look at how we live it. Number four, we think of others. Hard as though it may be, when we go through painful or hard times, it's a real opportunity to look outwards instead of inwards. You may never know how much your courage in the midst of grief or pain has helped or lifted other people. It can make us more compassionate, less thinking about the world through our eyes and what we can get, and more about others. And finally, our prayer changes. I don't think I've ever prayed so hard, so much, so honestly, and in such a real way as when things haven't been going how I want. It's been the hardest of times, without a shadow of a doubt, that I have felt closest to God in prayer. These things might not answer every question we have about why bad things happen, why we don't always get what we want, but it's a start. God isn't building a team of superstars, just ordinary people who reflect his glory. God always knows what is the very best for us, not what we think is best. God is committed to helping us become more like Jesus. And as Jesus said, "You will have trouble in this world, but I have overcome the world." In a minute, I'm going to ask Rachel if she will join me up front. And I've known Rachel for quite a while now, and perhaps from a distance, I've seen her live and work through some of the things we've talked about today. And I thought it'd be great if we could hear a real, honest, someone we've seen every day, testimony from someone who's lived these things out. A perspective of what this whole thing looks like in real life. So I'm going to hand you over to Rachel.
Hello. Cool. I'm just going to get straight to it because, yeah. So, cool. If I read and I don't look at you all, I'm really sorry. I'm just going to read. Anyway, okay. So, I wrote, so some of you may know, but I'm going to go with a lot of you probably don't, and that's totally cool. So anyway, about 5 years ago, I lost my mum. She passed away. She died very suddenly. On a Sunday, I asked her if she would cheekily drop me off at work, not work, church, ooh, not the same thing, to see if she would drop me off at church. It was in March. It was actually quite warm, so I don't know why I didn't walk. But anyway, so I was in band, so I had to get there earlier. And she was like, "Yeah, okay, see you later." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, see you later." And she was meant to be doing some form of, thing that put the front, and she didn't turn up. All thought everything was fine. Then about halfway through our second service, one of the members of the church came up to me and said, "Oh, do you want to follow me?" And I was like, "Okay, sure." And went into the office, and I saw my dad through, like, we've got a little church window door thing in the church office. And I saw my dad on the chair, and he was crying, and there was a police officer next to him. And I thought, "Oh gosh, what's he done? Like, oh my goodness." And my first thought actually was, he's got a speeding ticket. And now that I think about it, you don't, that's not, anyway. But he told me that she died. And everything just kind of flew from underneath me. Like, I don't really know what I did. I didn't do anything, I don't know, I can't really remember, but it was just, very weird. So I got home, and news got round very quickly, as things do in a church when something bad happens, because people pray. And by the end of the service, I had half the church around my house. They wanted to, you know, come say hi and say sorry and all these different things. And I was rushing around making cups of tea and cleaning and getting people tissues because everyone was crying because obviously it's very sad. And one of my friends said, "I don't get why that was your job. Like, why did you do that? Why didn't someone else come and do that? Like, you're meant to be grieving. You were meant to be the one crying and being really upset, and you weren't. You were making tea for people." And I don't know why I made tea for people. I don't know. I have no idea why. But I just think I needed to keep busy. I remember emptying the bin because there was loads of stuff in it and getting really upset that we'd run out of the actual bin bags for the bin. And so I had to use a Sainsbury's bag. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. But anyway, something also that really hit me when I wrote this was that I had all these friends now that I knew when it happened, but we're only friends now because we kind of came back to each other. We never, like, stuck being friends. So my best friend at the time, she was so supportive. And on the day it happened, we went for a walk around the village. And we talked about literally anything and anything. So that I would get my mind off things, I think. But after that, I didn't hear from her for a couple of years. And she actually went to Australia and back again. But she said to me a couple of months ago that she didn't know how to talk to me, how to help me, so she just didn't, and just stopped talking to me altogether. And I think that was the case with quite a lot of my friends. They just didn't say anything at all. I did, however, have two friends who, literally, we've been through everything together. We call ourselves the Three Musketeers. We've been through lots of bad breakups, we've been through normal, like, uni stuff. They've both gone to uni, they've both graduated, all this kind of stuff, and one of them's getting married next year. Not next year, this year, my goodness. But I think God knew that us being together was something that I kind of needed. I needed to have that rock with me throughout that time, and I'm completely blessed for that. But I was also able to go through some of my old diaries the other day. And I thought, something might help me, you know, explain how I was feeling at the time. And amongst all of the girl drama and the boy drama, I wrote, "All I feel is nothing. I can't stop feeling numb, and I know that I'm all alone. I don't know how to stop feeling like I want to trap myself under my duvet and never come out. God, please help me." I was never very good at praying. So I think that was kind of a short prayer. And that was definitely a turning point. I've struggled a lot. I won't lie and say that now that it's been 5 years, I'm all good as new, because I'm definitely not. Even though I didn't have a defining moment of, "God, I hate you. Like, why did you take my mum away? That was so cruel." My relationship with God was never the same. As I said, it happened a long time ago, that it was only the beginning of December last year, so 2016, that I actually forgave him for it and recommitted my life to him. And after I did that, it was as if I was kind of stood there with clouds in front of my eyes and inside my brain. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but... And then the second I kind of prayed and said, "God, I do forgive you for taking her away," in the kind of weird way, all the clouds just went. Like, I could see clearly, I could feel things properly, and I could breathe properly. And I was talking with my friend afterwards, he prayed with me, and I said, it's been so long since I've had a proper relationship, a true loving relationship with God, because I just didn't forgive him. I could have, you know, had 5 years worth of an amazing relationship, but now that I think about it, actually that's just not true. Like, I know that I love God and with all my heart, and I know that he loves me and I'm a daughter of him and all this kind of stuff, and that he was carrying me through even when I just didn't really feel it or think that he was. There's a girl in my life group called Jess, and we got put together, I don't know, probably about a year ago or less than that, and it was just one of those God things, you know, when God just knows. So she also lost her mum, it'll be a year ago in about a month, and she lost her to cancer, and I know that I have no idea what that's like. I'm able to kind of help her through what she's going through, even though I don't really know what she's going through, but I kind of do, and it's, even though it's horrible that we both know what we're going through, it's really nice to be able to talk to someone, and I hope that she feels the same way. But yeah, losing my mum was and is probably something that I will never ever forget. But I don't think I would change that. I know that may sound weird and a little bit horrible, but everything that's happened to me since, you know, she died, I've become the person I am today, and I think I'm completely so much stronger in who I am as a person, who I am in my faith with God, and I wouldn't be half of the person I am today without it happening. I wouldn't be at the church I'm at. I wouldn't have all my wonderful friends that I have. And Timmy's smiling at the back. And yeah, I wouldn't have recommitted my life to God and have the most amazing relationship that I have ever. So yeah, that's me.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for sharing that with us. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing through all the ups and downs of that journey how we can see Rachel's relationship with God woven all the way through it, through times of big dips and times of coming up with some of the amazing statements that she said that I could even think, how on earth could you say or feel that? Because it's somewhere down the line that we can see God and Rachel were so connected all the way through, the way that God didn't let go of Rachel. The way ultimately that Rachel didn't let go of God, even if it took time. Rachel, thank you ever so much for sharing that with us. That is really, really powerful. I'm going to hand you over to Grace now.
Cool, thank you. I feel like we need to respond to this evening. It's been quite powerful, hasn't it? There's a lot of power in testimony, and what Rachel has shared, there's something that God wants to speak to us about through that, because when people are brave and when people share their lives with us, that can bring a lot of freedom for us in a way that is going to be personal to us and in a way that God wants to do that for us. That sound good? Should we respond to him tonight? Yeah? Should we stand up just to get a change in the quiet? That's lovely. Give your legs a little shake if you need to. It's quite hard sitting on the floor. You're all doing so well. Wonderful. Well, what we're going to do now is we're just going to do something to help us just get in a good place to be open to what God might want to say to us. Hopefully you'll find it helpful. But I just would like to encourage you to shut your eyes. Again, just like last night, just to help us not be distracted. Just to help us to use these next few moments to really focus on God and what he wants to say to us. That's wonderful. Thank you, guys. And what I would really like you to do is to just, with your hands, put them into some fists. Clench your fists. Do it quite tight. And as you have your fists clenched, I would just like you to imagine those things or that one thing that you're finding a bit difficult at the moment. Maybe something that happened a long time ago, maybe something that's been quite recent. Maybe it's hurting you, maybe you're just a bit angry about it. Maybe this is something that you feel cross with God about, that you're blaming him for. Maybe you're fine with God, but this one thing is just a bit in the way of you having that perfect relationship with your Heavenly Father. And as you have your fists clenched, I want you to feel that tension And imagine that as the thing that's going on with you. And that's going to be different for every single one of us. And whether you think that's something really, really small and insignificant, or whether you think that's something really, really massive and out of your control, they all matter to God, every single one. Can you maybe feel your nails digging in a little bit? Maybe you can feel your knuckles are a bit tight. Maybe your hands feel quite heavy. Maybe it's big and it's weighing heavy on your heart at the moment. Can you almost see it? Maybe it looks like a colour. Maybe it looks like a shape. Maybe it's a bad relationship with someone. Maybe it's a situation at home. Maybe it's none of them and something completely different. And what I'm going to invite you to do in a moment, and when you're ready, is just to release your hands, release your fingers. Maybe you need to do it one finger at a time. But as you do that, and this is the key here, only do this, and as you do this, I want you to believe and invite and allow God into that situation. And maybe you've not done that before. Maybe this is the first time that you're going to say, actually, God, this is going to be hard, but I do actually really want you to come into this. And I want to give this over to you. I want to trust that you've got good plans for me. And I want to trust that you're going to bring good out of this bad situation. And when you're ready, and when you feel like you want to, why don't you just start to unclench your fist, but only when you're willing, only when you're ready to let God into it. Maybe it's going to take a little while for you to feel ready. Maybe you just want to let one little bit go at a time. But I promise you that if you let God into this and let go of it, you're not going to regret it. Because God is so on your side, he's so for you, he could not love you more, and he could not want better things for your life. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not saying it's going to go straight away. But by letting God in, you're letting the power of it go from you. Thank you, Jesus. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of your goodness in this place. In this place. And when you've got your fists unclenched and your hands are open, I would love you to just turn your palms to face the ceiling and just receive from God right now in this space what he wants to give you. Maybe it's freedom. Maybe you need freedom tonight from something. Maybe you just need to know for 100% that God is with you, that he's for you, that he's on your side, that he's with you right now, and he's been with you through whatever it is you've been going through, through every step of it. He knows everything about it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive from your Father right now in this place. This is a really safe place. Don't worry about anyone else around you. Just use this between you and God. Just let go and allow God in.
If you're just stood by a friend, don't just gently put your arm on their shoulder. Don't feel you've got to hold them too tight. Just allow God to just be working in their life. Yeah.
Don't be worried. This is good. This is God at work among us. Tears are actually a really good thing. They show that we're releasing and we're letting go and we're allowing God into our hearts. It brings a lot of freedom. And the best thing is that when we release the pain and release the bad stuff and allow God to come and do his work, he always, always brings his joy. He always, always brings his joy. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Come, Holy Spirit, more of you, Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you, if you're praying with someone, that is absolutely fantastic. You continue to do that. If you're not, and you maybe you're not feeling it, or you're just not quite sure what's going on, why don't you just listen to this song playing? Maybe we could just turn it up a little bit and listen to the words and see what God might want to say to you through this song. Psalm 56 says this: "You have kept count of my struggles. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me." He is so for you tonight. I just wonder if you're praying with someone, why don't you just continue to do that, and maybe we can just get some leaders involved and we can just do a bit of prayer ministry and press into that and not take away from this moment. If you're maybe not sure what's going on, if you maybe want to just chat to someone about what's been going on tonight, why don't you just make your way towards the bookcase at the... Oh, bookcase, there's loads of bookcases. Towards the back near the arch. That would be fantastic. If you're receiving from God, that is fine. We're not rushing on. We want to give lots of time and space for God to do whatever it is he wants to do tonight. This I know, that God is for me. Do you know tonight that God is for you? That despite circumstances, that despite the past or the present or the future, he is for you.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua.
Isn't that a fantastic little verse selection? Be bold and courageous. That through the suffering, through the hard times, God can bring about boldness and courage. If you need boldness and courage tonight, why don't you just make yourself known to one of your friends or one of the leaders, and they would love to pray that for you. And if you're praying for a friend right now, I would love you to be really brave. And I would love you to ask God for a word or a picture for them. Maybe you've done this loads of times. Maybe you've never done this before. But it's one of the amazing ways that our God speaks to us. Maybe he's going to give you a Bible verse. Maybe you're going to get a picture in your mind. And it's a way that we can build each other up and encourage each other. So I would just encourage you to be bold and courageous and ask God for a word or a picture or something from the Lord for the person that you're praying for, and then share it with them. I just really encourage you that if you feel like maybe you got something from tonight and you're a bit done and waiting for your hot chocolate, why don't you see if the Lord's got something else for you tonight? Maybe you want to just read your Bible. Maybe you want to have a look at the screen in a minute, because the verse that some of the verses we've just read are going to come up there. Maybe you want to just ask the Lord to speak to you. Maybe you want to, for the first time, be brave and ask him to give you a picture or a word. Our God is so for us, and He loves it when we ask Him to speak to us. Maybe you've been praying for someone and you're not quite sure what's been going on. Maybe it would be a really wonderful thing to do just to ask them if they're okay. Maybe you could just say, "What's the Lord been doing with you tonight?" and ask them if they'd like to share, and then that might be able to help you pray more specifically for them.